Dr. John Lott, the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center here, the leading voice on common sense when it comes to gun ownership and gun statistics, not the emotion of guns, but gun statistics. Doctor, welcome back to the program.
Good to talk to you again, Steve.
I know you're traveling today, and I appreciate you taking the time. A couple of quick things. First of all, in his remarks immediately following the shooting, the president said it's clear, how I'm going to paraphrase, that those places that have the strictest gun laws have the least amount of shootings, which, you know, he's from Illinois with Chicago. Right off the get-go, it seems to me he's spewing garbage.
Right. Well, I mean, I guess I don't take it seriously when he says that. I mean, there are a number of things that they do in order to kind of manipulate that. Most of those, almost two-thirds of the shootings that he's including are suicides. And the thing is, there's a lot of suicide in rural areas of this country, mainly because you have older men who are, the male-female balance is way out of whack in those places. And, you know, you just have a fair number of suicides that are there. But to go and blame that on gun ownership is not something that I take particularly seriously, or the amount of gun control laws that are there. There are lots of ways for people to kill and commit suicide in lots of different places. And just, you know, I just think that's kind of a misrepresentation to include those. Plus, there are lots of little funny things that they do with the data on that. For example, when they look at stand your ground laws, which they're including in this mix, there's a number of states that have stand your ground laws as a result of court decisions. But they're not counting those. They're, somehow it seems to matter to them whether the stand your ground laws are put in effect as the state legislature or they're in effect as a result of some past court decision.
So it's how
exactly obvious to me why there should be a distinction there, and there are other issues there too, but it's just take the claims very seriously.
Right, clearly manipulating the statistics, as a lot of folks do. My question is this. Now, what can be done? I mean, they make it as if there's some magical law out there that's been hanging around that the Republicans and the NRA are blocking because the NRA, you know, there are calls from some Democrats to, you know, label the National Rifle Association as a terrorist group, which would be akin to, you know, blaming AAA for, you know, drunk driving, you know, to me. I mean, the blaming the NRA for a mass shooting in Oregon is like blaming the American Automobile Association for drunk driving anywhere in the country. It just, it doesn't, there's no connection there. But what can we do?
Well, I mean, just first of all, I mean, I think people are making this point now, but, you know, the law that the president keeps pushing, the so-called expanded background checks, would have had nothing. He's out there in public just hours after the attack, before we even knew how the killer had obtained his weapons. And it quickly became clear that the law was completely irrelevant in that case, just as it's been completely irrelevant in all these other cases that he keeps emphasizing. You know, everyone that he's spoken about during his administration, the law that he pushes for this would have had absolutely no impact.
Let me ask you about that, though. You're right about that. But let me ask you this. Background checks, if you go to a gun store, you have fill out your yellow sheet. If you go to most, you know, the gun show thing, most of those places have dealers and you fill out the yellow sheet. But private sales between individuals, there's no yellow sheet and so on and so forth. I mean, wouldn't it make more sense just to do background checks on every gun exchange as opposed to 60% or 70%? Why do 60 or 70% if you're not going to do them all?
Well, I mean, first of all, I think the number is over 90%. I mean, that 60% number that everybody keeps pushing was on a survey that was done even before the Brady Act went into effect primarily. And but beyond that, you know, the current background check systems are a real mess. Virtually everybody who gets stopped is a false positive. The real cost to this, in the sense that, you know, when you have these background checks dealing with private transfers, you're adding, the state of New York, you add about $80 onto the cost of transferring a gun. In Washington State, you're adding about $60 onto the cost of transferring a gun. In D.C., you're adding about $200 onto the cost of transferring a gun. Those are real costs. And I think the main reason that they're pushing this isn't because they believe that it's going to stop crime any more than it's going to stop these mass public shootings that they keep on pointing to. I think the reason why they push this is that they want to reduce gun ownership, and one of the ways to go and reduce gun ownership is just to make it more costly for people to go and get guns. But, you know, if they were serious, there are two things that they could do that I think would reduce a lot of the opposition to this. One is, if they really believe that this reduces crime, and I don't, but if they really believe that, then go pay for it out of general revenue, okay? And but they won't do that. They go crazy when you bring up paying for out of general revenue, even if they're claiming that everybody's supposedly going to benefit from lower crime.
And real quickly, number two.
And it's for the reason why I said before, they don't care about that. They care about making it cost people to get guns. Second point is that fix it so that not everybody who's being stopped is a false positive. People who should have been able to, but they simply have a name and a birthday similar to the people that they're trying to stop.
CrimeResearch.org is where you'll find Dr. John Lott.